That's awesome. Thank you, Brad and the band leading us really well today. You know, that's a great cultural connect from our culture, a piece of art that talks a lot about what we're going to be talking about today, that, you know, when we're going through the storms in life, even when we're not in the storms, we really at times, you know, wonder, you know, hey, is this really going to go my way? How in the world is this thing going to get figured out? So today, really excited that you're here today. My name's Kurt, by the way. I'm what's referred to as a pastor here, if it's your first time with us. And let me just pray for us as we go up and dive into this this idea of storms today. God, thank you that we can gather in a dark room on a beautiful Sunday morning and come in and seek you in ways that maybe we just don't have the ability or the focus to do in other times during the week. God, thank you for being a God who calls us boldly into new places, into new things, and we know that you call us off the shore into the new, into new places, and God, I just pray that you would increase our confidence today. God, I pray that you would be encouraging to us so that we have the confidence to go boldly after the heading, after the direction that you're pushing us toward. God, I just pray that you be with my words today, help me to be accurate, and most importantly, God, to be helpful. I pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, hey, welcome to week two of The Brave Journey. Anybody enjoy week one of the journey so far? Yeah. I know I had an awesome experience. I've heard great, great stories from small groups and just different experiences already with the app. And the cool part of this is, you know, we've just begun. I mean, there are so many amazing things that are going to be coming over these next few weeks. And, you know, if you're here for the first time today or you missed last week, we're on a six-week journey where we're, you know, talking about this invitation Jesus gives us to go to an entirely new place. To take a brave, bold step into something new. And for some of us, you know, we've said, hey, I'm going to kick an addiction during this time. For the others of us, we said, hey, I'm just really being, you know, kind of urged to start something new, a new business, a new organization, a new trajectory in my life. I know some of us are seeking reconciliation in relationships, maybe even specifically in a marriage. And so, you know, whatever that heading is, whatever that direction is that we worked through last week, and if you missed last week, go back and listen to the podcast. You can do the Brave homework in the Brave app. And we're going to have to be brave to get to that next new place. And so for 6 weeks, we're taking a look at what that's going to require to get to that place. Now, the other thing you're not going to want to miss is a week from tomorrow begins the Brave experience. And this is going to be an immersive experience, a prayer experience where you can come anytime during the week, Monday through Friday, over the lunch hour or in the evening, except for Thursday evening, October 26th through the 30th, 11 to 1 in the middle of the day or 1:30, and then 5 to 8:30 in the evening. And you're going to be able to immerse yourself in an experience in this building and bring your smartphone or device with you. You'll use your app, and it will kind of guide you through a reflective experience to kind of continue to process the things that you've already began. And you're not going to want to miss this experience. It's going to be a key part of us continuing to go after the thing God's calling us to. So put those dates in your calendar, and you'll hear more over the next week or so on this. So today, we're going to be talking about storms. And, you know, we're going to look at some people here in just a moment that have a very, very different view of storms than you and I probably have. So take a look at the screens here.
Now, a sneak peek of the all-new season of Storm Chasers.
It's right on top of us, Joel. We got to get out of here.
Right on top of us.
Got it. We got to get over these trees, Joel.
Go, 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 go.
It's on the ground. It's coming right at us.
Go, go.
Keep filming.
I can't swim.
Got that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got it. I'm right on it.
Wow! That thing is a monster.
Here, give it to me. Give it to me.
All right, go, 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 go.
Bree, get up here.
Power flash, you see that?
All over the place.
Yes! We're back!
Storm Chasers. The new season begins October 18th at 10.
Oh.
It's all new on Discovery.
Wow. Now you're like, why would I want to do that, right? I mean, what in the world does that have to do with what we're talking about here? Well, actually, it has a lot to do with what we're talking about. And I think there's something there. And there's a spiritual principle that I want us to grasp today. I don't want us to miss in the midst of this journey. And that is that there are certain learnings that you can only have when you are willing to get close to the storm. And this has been true in my life. You know, many of the learnings that I've had that have taken me to new places only happen when I'm willing to get not only close to the storm, but I don't run from it, I don't hope it just passes by, but I actually begin to walk through the storm. In fact, it's one of the reasons I'm wearing my Colts jersey today, because I'm thinking, any Colts, anybody excited for the Colts tonight? Yeah, let's hear the excitement, because I think it's going to be a good day. But see, here's the thing, even for the Colts, they know the Patriots are a storm they're going to have to go through if they want to get to a new place. And that's just like any storm in life. And so today, we're going to be looking at storms, and these are kind of the resistances, or, you know, the fears in our life, or the barriers, the things that we can identify that prevent us from getting from where we are to the new place that God is calling us to go. And there's a heading. You know, last week we talked about our heading. We talked about getting that thing that God, that vision that God is drawing us to. There is a storm attached to every single heading. Every heading you pursue is going to have a storm attached to it. So last week we looked at how bravery leads to breakthrough. That was one of our big connects last week. First big idea for today, every breakthrough cuts a path through a storm. Every breakthrough cuts a path through a storm. And so I want you to think about your favorite movie for a moment, or maybe any movie you've recently seen. You know, I bet there's a storm that's in that movie. You know, if there's a character who is up against something, facing something, having to go through something, there's certain barriers that are keeping them where they are, preventing them from getting to where they want to be. In fact, every story that we're inspired by has a storm in it. And so I want to give you a few bad movie pitches, all right? Because a bad movie pitch is, if I were to just give you like the first scene of a movie and the last scene of a movie, you'd be like, wow, I really want to see that, all right? Because every movie has a storm, all right? So here's one that I saw recently. There's a Martian who's hanging out with astronaut. Hanging out with his other astronaut friends. Now, I already told you the movie, all right? So, and now I'm not going to give anything away, but if I were to tell you in The Martian, all there is an astronaut hanging out with a few of his friends on Mars, they're laughing, and then the movie ends with him sitting in a classroom, you'd be like, wow, I'm going to pay money for that. Well, let me tell you about the storm. You know, the storm, if you haven't seen the movie, is there is an actual storm. There's actually a dust storm, a debris storm that comes and begins to pelt these six astronauts. Five of them make it to the capsule. One does not. They fear for Mark Watney, whether he even made it through the storm. They believe he didn't. His little device that says, you know, whether he's alive or not, indicates maybe not. They have to make a decision of whether they're going to leave or stay back with their friend. And so there's all these storms that they have to go through. There's a storm that Mark Watney has to go through in order to maintain his existence as a human being. And so in the end, he ends up in a classroom. All right? And so, but that's the storm. That's what makes the movie. Let me tell you about another one without giving it away. There was an accountant in the beginning of the movie, and then at the end, there was an accountant on a boat in Mexico. And you're thinking, wow, a story about an accountant. How fun, right? Well, let me tell you the storm. So this accountant is falsely accused of a crime, and he's put in prison. And while he's in prison, there's all kinds of terrible things that happen to him. And he decides one day, hey, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I'm going to get a plan to get free. And so Andy Dufresne gets a plan to get into the sewer system of the prison. He crawls through 400 yards of raw sewage, comes out on the other side into a rainstorm, hands up, and he's finally free. And this is all, what? Shawshank Redemption, right? Anybody like Shawshank Redemption? Yeah, awesome movie, one of my favorite movies. And now you have a story, right? See, every story has a storm. And here's the thing. The story that God is writing in your life right now, today, has a storm attached to it. Right, whether you know it or not, there is a storm that's attached to your story. And so you can avoid the storm. You can, you know, say, hey, I'm going to try to go around the storm. You can hope the storm will pass, or you can choose to go through the storm. But here's the thing. If we don't face a storm, we're never going to get to the new place. So today, we're going to take a look at a stormy story, and this involves a guy by the name of Peter in the Bible. And Peter does something amazing. He actually walks on water, and he suggests that there's actually a third option. You know, we can choose to avoid the storm, we can choose to wait out the storm, or, as Peter shows us, we can choose to walk toward the storm. All right, so this is in the book of Matthew 14, and there's actually another book written by an author that kind of talks about this particular story. It's one of my favorite authors. It's a guy by the name of John Ortberg. And he says this. He says, my story is like every human story. is, at least in part, in the part of the struggle between faith and fear. And that's what all of our stories have in common right now. As we think about this new place, there's this tension between faith and fear. There's this tension between, God, I know you have plans for me, and there's a hope that I have that I can actually get to that new place, and then there's a fear of, what if I don't make it? What if I'm not strong enough? God, what if I disappoint people along the way? One of my other favorite quotes from John Ortberg is when he said this. He said, leadership is the art of disappointing people at a pace they can stand. Man, you guys get that all the time from me, all right? I mean, that's the story of my life right there. You know, if we're afraid of disappointment, we're going to miss getting to the next new place. In fact, I was talking with a church planner this past week, and I'll kind of let you up on some really cool things that are happening right now. We're in the early phases of helping a brand new church start right here out of Cross Point that we're going to partner with, that's going to be an Arab church for people who have immigrated here from the Middle East. And it's really cool because there are tens of thousands of Arabs that are living in the greater Fishers, greater north side of Indianapolis area. And one of the unique things that happens when Arabs come to the United States is they experience a freedom to explore Jesus that they never had when they were living in the Middle East. And so we're looking to help start a church for Arabs who can come and experience and see who Jesus really is. And I was talking with the planter that we're working with. His name's Ramon. And I said to him this week, I said, hey, you know, how big do you think you guys are going to launch? And here's what he said. He said, man, Kurt, I don't know. He said, I'm afraid to put a big number on it because I don't want to be disappointed. And I said, you know what, Ramon, you're going to learn that disappointment is a part of the journey. I'm disappointed all the time. All the time. I have great aspirations for this or for that, and I'm disappointed constantly. In fact, even with this journey, I mean, we said, man, we want 50 small groups. We want to have a small group for every single adult and student to get in during the journey. 50 groups would cover that, and we came up way short. We have like 35 or 36 right now. And so I was disappointed by that, but here's the cool thing. See, if we would have said, oh, we just need 35 groups, you know how many we would have had? 25. And so even though we didn't hit our goal and I was a bit disappointed, we got a lot closer to where we needed to be than if we would have shot low. You know, when we started this journey, actually about 2 months ago when I started processing through the journey material, because I kind of work ahead on this, I knew that as I picked my heading for the journey, what God was wanting to do in me, that I was going to need to talk about that with you. And so my heading, the thing that I picked, the thing that's kind of been stirring in me for quite some time is I want to start something new. And you might say, well, Crosspoint's new. Well, it is, but we've been around for like 8 years. So I've really been unsettled for the good part of a year, just feeling like God is calling me to, again, start something. So, you know, part of that is being a good steward of what we've created here and figuring out a way to take what we experience here and begin to reproduce that as Crosspoint in other places, other communities. And there's some fear in that for me. I mean, as I begin to walk through that, I begin to think, you know, what does that mean for me? What does that mean for how I do my role week in, week out? What is that going to take in me as a leader? What's that going to do in my staff team? What's it going to cost me? What's it going to cost my family? What's it going to cost Crosspoint? And see, this is the tension we all live in. It's the tension between faith and fear. And so as you think about your heading this week, you're going to have to wrestle through the question, what am I afraid of? And the truth is, you can hide from the storm, but you won't get to that new place unless you become a storm chaser like Peter. And so we see Peter's story in Matthew chapter 14. And if you have the Crosspoint app, you can go to the Bible button. It should take you there. If not, just hit Matthew at the top, and it'll take you to Matthew 14. And this story comes right after Jesus fed 5,000 men on a hillside, plus women and children. So he fed something like 20,000 people with, get this, 2 fish and a couple loaves of bread. And everybody there is like, man, if Jesus can do that, we're with him. He's amazing. We're going to be with him. We're going to follow him. And so, you know, they're all excited about this. Jesus does this amazing thing, and then he sends everybody to their home, and he tells his team, hey, I want you guys to go get in a boat. I want you to begin to go across the lake ahead of me. And in the meantime, Jesus goes up on a mountain to pray because this is a very, very pivotal moment in his journey. All right, so here's what the story says. It says, immediately he, being Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, as I was reading this, I thought, you know, one of my coaches told me one time, he said, Kurt, if you want a surefire way to create a storm in your life, pick a direction and start going after it. If you want a surefire way to, you know, see that, man, there's some turbulence in your life, pick a direction, pick a header, a heading, and begin to pursue that. And you'll immediately begin to hit a storm. Well, that's what happens right here. Jesus gives direction to his team. He says, I want you to go across the lake ahead of me. He says, get in the boat before me and go to the other side. He gives a very clear direction. Second big idea, we have to pick a heading despite the forecast. We have to pick a heading despite the stormy forecast. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, you know, if you've ever had that moment of inspiration, maybe it was even last week as you're kind of picking your heading. We've probably all had this at some point or another. You know, maybe it was a business concept, a new idea. You know, man, I really need my marriage to go to an entirely new place. A call to change something in your life. Have you ever noticed the moment you have that inspiration, it's immediately followed with the voice of reason? Immediately. It's really followed with the voice of all the ways your idea is going to fail. Have you ever noticed that? Like, you're like, oh, man, I'm so inspired. And it's like, oh, that's going to fail. I mean, every single time, it's the voice comes up of why you shouldn't do it, why you shouldn't go after it. See, there will always be a negative forecast when you're pursuing a breakthrough, always. And yet Jesus still calls us into that stormy forecast. There's a collection of quotes that I like to refer to every now and then that just remind me of that forecast. In fact, you know, this kind of ties into that idea that right before a breakthrough, people think the idea is crazy, all right? Have you ever noticed that anytime there's a major breakthrough, people are like, oh, yeah, it's never going to work. Let me give you a few of these. Maybe you've heard these. Here's one from Thomas Watson, CEO of IBM in 1943. He said, I think there's a world market for maybe 5 computers. Think about that for a moment, all right? Here's another one. This telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. The device is inherently of no value to us, says Western Union in an internal memo in 1876. Oh, if they could see us now, right? Here's another one. Love this one. Who the hell wants to hear actors talk? Says H.M. Warner of Warner Brothers. Well, why would we want to do that? Let's pay $10 to just sit in silence. I love this one. It will be years and not in my time before a woman will lead the party or become prime minister, says Margaret Thatcher in 1974, right? She was like her own naysayer, right? And isn't it so fascinating how there are always going to be naysayers out there? I mean, there's always going to be a negative forecast out there. But here's the thing. Here's the interesting thing. When it comes to us pursuing our direction, if we're honest, a lot of times the stormy forecast, it starts right here and right here. The stormy forecast, the naysayer starts right here and right here. And we have to be willing to go after our heading even if there's a stormy forecast. So if you picked a heading last week, if you picked a, hey, here's the thing I'm going after, all right, here's what I know about you. There's going to be a storm in your future. Guarantee it. It's going to be a storm. All right, and yet, I'm still encouraging you to go after that heading. Because one of the things I know is you will learn and grow as you go into that storm. In the app this week, as you get into the app and do your homework and begin processing through the stuff on storms this week, you're actually going to name your storm. All right, we're going to name these storms. What is that thing that God's pursuing me, causing me to pursue? And what is the name of the things that is actually going to keep me from getting to that place? And so as I worked ahead of my app, I'm going to share a little bit with you of, you know, as I have this kind of call to start new things, to reproduce Crosspoint in new places, here's one of the questions that you're going to have to wrestle through, and here's my answer. One of the questions is, when I think about my heading, I feel frustrated because, and I wrote, I don't have answers as to exactly how this is going to work. I have a lot of questions and doubts. Do I have the competency to lead it? You know, am I up for the steep uphill climb? How will it impact my family? How will this impact my staff team? This is not a part of my original plan. I like where we are, but I feel a tension, a holy discontent. Now, a holy discontent for me is that thing where God begins to make you uncomfortable because it's prompting you towards something else. And when I said I feel frustration because I know it's time to move on this, yet there's a lot of unknowns. Things that are not commonplace for me in this uncharted territory, and it could completely fail. And if I'm really honest, that's how I feel about what God's calling me to. There's another question you're going to wrestle through this week. Here's my answer. When I think about my heading, I feel worried, stressed, anxious about, and I just wrote fear. If I'm honest, man, I have fear over this thing that God is prompting me toward. And yet, I said, I felt a growing unsettledness to expand a new territory for about 2 years, but I've pushed it off because of 5 reasons, and I listed them out. Number one, my fear of failure. The stakes are way higher now for Crosspoint than they ever have been in the past. Number two, fear that others will think it's crazy. Why are we doing this? Why now? Can't you just be happy with where we're going? Just be content with where we are. Number three, fear that my intentions will be misinterpreted. See, this, you know, as we began to think about multi-siting, it's one of those things that, you know, I have this fear that people are going to be like, well, everybody's doing that. Why would you do that? Everybody's actually not doing it. There's actually a handful of people doing it. But I don't like to be like everybody. I like to, like, do new things. And this is what's actually kept me at bay on this for about 2 years. Number four, fear that I will not have or be what is required to lead this initiative. Number five, fear that there will not be the invasive kingdom impact that I am called to. Then I wrote, oh yeah, there's a lot that could go wrong with this. So those are some of my thoughts as I think about my heading and about the storms that I'm going to be heading into. Whatever your heading is, there are storms that are attached to your heading. And yet Jesus invites us to walk towards the storm. So I want you to walk towards the storm. If your heading is about finances, if your heading is getting your finances in order, you know, let me tell you what, there's going to be storms in your future. In fact, one of your first storms is going to be when you begin to total up all of the debt that you have. And you're going to total that number, you're going to see that number, you're going to be like, oh my word, I owe how much? That's going to be a stormy moment for you. All right, I've been there, I've done that before. All right, then the next stormy moment is if your spouse doesn't know what that number is, when you tell your spouse, there's going to be another stormy moment right there, right? There's going to be a lot of storms. And then you're going to walk into these moments where you're like, you know, even if I begin to get a pathway and I begin to map out the change God is calling me to, well, I actually have the discipline to sustain this long term so I can be financially free. All right, so there's going to be storms in your forecast. You know, if you're, you know, identifying a spiritual heading that's of the spiritual nature, something that's kind of like, you know, hey, I want to figure out who Jesus is. Man, it's a great heading. I encourage you to go after it full bore. But listen, there's going to be storms in your future. I guarantee it. There's going to be moments where you question and have doubts about things that you're hearing and experiencing. And I wish I could stand here and tell you this morning. I wish I could tell you that after 28 plus years of following Jesus, that man, if that's your spiritual heading, the waters do eventually calm out. You know what? They don't. There will constantly be storms. There will be times where you have questions. But if you want to get to a new place, you've got to go through those storms. Jesus, he calls us to walk on the water. He calls us to come out to where he is. He gives the disciples a heading. And he says, I want you to go to the other side. And as soon as he asks him to do that, guess what? All hell breaks loose. But here's how the story goes. It says, when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way out from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. Now, this is an interesting choice of words right here. This phrase, beaten by the waves. The word there could also be translated as buffeted. The word could also be translated as tormented. And nearly every other time the word tormented is used in the Bible, it refers to this idea of demonic activity that's taking place to prevent something from taking hold in someone's life. And so we could actually say that this storm wasn't just a natural catastrophe. All right, there's actually supernatural forces that are at work in this storm because it's kind of tormenting them. And it's actually, this storm is trying to prevent the disciples from getting to the other side. Now, here's the thing. If I were to sit down with many of you this week and have a cup of coffee with you, and we were to sit across the table and said, hey, what's your journey been like, not just this past week, but over the years as you've tried to get to the thing that you're going after right now? You'd probably use some of those words. You'd say, yeah, I've been beaten by the waves. I've been buffeted by the waves. I've been tormented. I've been beaten in the situation I'm in. You know, I've had a bad diagnosis, and it's just like being beaten against the rocks. I mean, you would use some of these same words. And I'm telling you, Jesus got his disciples to head toward the heading, even though he knew there was going to be a storm. But he doesn't tell them there's going to be a storm. I don't know why. He doesn't tell them, but he knows. And yet, he sends them in the direction of the storm. But here's the thing. He doesn't cause the storm. You know, we live in a broken world. Brokenness is all around us. We live in a world where we constantly face resistance. And I tell you what, the more you begin to pursue things God wants to come true in your life, the more resistance you're going to feel, right? It's just a reality. But here's the cool thing. Jesus doesn't leave them by themselves in the storm. So here's how the story resumes. It says, in the fourth watch of the night, this was like after 6 hours, they've been buffeted by the waves for 6 hours. This is like around 3 to 6 in the morning. Jesus came to them walking on the sea. All right, now put yourself in this story, right? Crazy waves happening, crazy winds, waves are buffeting the boat, you know, and all of a sudden they think they see something on the sea. They're like, oh, what is that? That's a figure. Is that Jesus? How would you respond in this moment, right? You'd probably respond a lot like the 12, you know, guinea pigs that are in the boat, right? Here's how they respond. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and they said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. I mean, this is huge right here. I don't want us to miss what's going on right here. All right, Jesus sends them in the middle of the storm. And these guys are probably thinking, man, does Jesus know he sent us into a storm? I mean, does he even know this is happening? And this is fascinating right here. All right, this is a little part of the story. It's easy to read over. When Jesus begins to go to them on the waves, walk out to them, he's communicating something by what he does and by what he says right here. All right, so physically, he's walking out to them on the waves. Now, to an ancient person, to a person in this particular day, the sea was a place of chaos. The sea was untamable. The sea was a place where the gods dwelled. The sea was a place where if you're not careful, you get swallowed up by the gods who aren't happy. So the sea is kind of this evil place. And so part of the belief system that caused these Jews to be so afraid of the storm was they believed it was a place of evil. It was a place that was untamable. And so this is Jesus showing his power right here when Jesus is literally treading the water, treading on evil, walking out to them. This is him showing them, hey, I even have command or power over the sea and over the waves. Now, the other thing that's happening right here is through what he says. All right, so here's what he says. When he says, take heart, it is I, that's not how these Jewish men would have heard that. All right, that's kind of the English translation. They would have heard, take heart, I am. Take heart, Yahweh. Now, as soon as they heard the word Yahweh, this would have taken them back thousands of years to Mount Sinai, where Moses and God are having this interaction, and God says to Moses, Moses, my people have been in misery. My people have been in slavery to the nation of Egypt. I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him to let my people go. And Moses looks up at God, and he says, God, Pharaoh's an awful big leader. I mean, he's enormous. Do you mind telling me who you are so I can tell Pharaoh who's telling you this? And he's like, I am, Yahweh, I am. That's all he gives me. That's my name. I am. All right? So not only is Jesus treading on the water, on the untamable, but he goes out and he says, take heart, I am. Take heart, Yahweh is here in the water. Now that you know this, how would you have responded? Now, before you get all happy clapping, like, yeah, you know, I've been out there on the water. Remember, there's 12 guinea pigs that are a lot like you and I still in the boat, right? And only one of them is willing to go out to Jesus, all right? Which leads to an interesting question. Why do these men think it's safer in the boat? Have you ever wondered that? I mean, why is it that they're hunkering down in the boat? I mean, the wind's still whipping in their face. They're still getting pummeled by the rain. I mean, their boat could still capsize. It's no safer, which is so fascinating to me. So the boat in this story is almost like a symbol of how you and I always like to hang on to the thing that we think will bring us safety. We think, man, if I just row harder, if I work harder in the boat, I'm going to get to safety. Right? The boat's not a safer place. But one person, Peter. Peter is actually brave enough to step out. Here's what it says. It says, and Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. In other words, Peter says, Jesus, if that's you, I want you to enable me to do the thing that you're doing right now. I want you to enable me to walk on the water just like you are walking on the water. Now, why in the world would Peter say that? Why would he do that? I mean, Peter's very impulsive. Peter's the one that's always jumping in early. He's an early adopter. I mean, he's always jumping in. And so in the midst of him thinking this is Jesus, Jesus, if that's you, I want you to ask me to come out and do the very thing that you're doing. Why would he do that? I don't know. I don't know if he lost a bet or something. I don't know why. But this is what he does. All right, but see, here's what's interesting. If you flip back in your Bible, like a couple days, couple weeks, couple stories earlier, Jesus is hanging out with his team, and he says something to his team. He says, hey, you know, people have all kinds of assumptions about who I am. But you're my 12, you're my team. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, without hesitation, he jumps in. He says, Jesus, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus laughs and says, Peter, that did not come from you. That came from my Father. It's been revealed to you by my Father. And so he goes on to say, Simon Peter, he changes his name from Simon to Peter. He says, Peter, on you, or on that principle, that awareness that you realize that I'm the Son of God, on that idea, I will build my church. I'm going to build my church on water walkers just like you. So maybe that's why a couple weeks later, when Peter says Jesus out on the water, Jesus had just built him up. And he says, Jesus, if that's you, I want you to help me do what you're doing. Enable me to do the very thing that you're doing here on the water. So here's the thing. There will be storms. There's going to be wind. There's going to be waves. You're going to have to face the storm to follow your heading. And here's the cool part. You might even walk on water if you're willing to take a step out of the boat. The question we're going to have to answer this week is, what are we afraid of? To be part of our processing in the app this week, you're going to have to name your storm. Your storm might be pride. Your storm might be, you know, forgiveness. It might be laziness. It might be, fear. It might be anger. Whatever it is, you're going to have to be willing to face that to get the breakthrough that will take you to the other place. And so we're going to have a choice to make this week. We're going to have to make a choice of whether we keep the comfort of the boat, or we choose to step out of the vessel onto the water. We're going to have to make the choice of whether we hold the grudge or we step into forgiveness. We're going to have to make the choice of whether we stay stuck or we step into the unknown. We're going to have to make the choice of whether I continue to hide or whether I get vulnerable. And here's the thing. When you step out of the boat, you may experience a freedom that you've never experienced before. So we've got some next steps for you this week, and these are really kind of key for us every week here at Crosspoint. If you take your connection card on the back, there are three very simple steps, but I want us to kind of declare these today because these are the things that are going to help us get to new places. So in your app is the first step. You know, if you don't have it, download the app. There's going to be key things you're going to identify in the app this week that are going to help you identify your storm so that you can actually head into it. Second part of your homework is, will I attend my Brave Journey group? And so mark that if you're planning to attend your Brave Journey group, or if you're not in a group, there's still time to sign up. So make the decision right now. Hey, I'm going to get in a group. I'm going to do that on my phone right now. I'm going to go out to the Commons, and I'm going to, you know, sign up at one of the iPads. And then third, I'll return to Crosspoint next week. You know, being here every weekend is a critical part of heading into the next week. And then the last thing, really, and the most important thing, is as you go through these processes, will you get out of the boat? Are you willing to step out of the boat, out of what you know, and be a storm chaser? And by the way, why are we stepping out of the boat? Why is it so important to get out of the boat? I mean, we know, I mean, just logically, we say, well, it's only when I get out of what I know and step into the new that I can experience forgiveness. It's only when I get out of what I know and I step into the unknown that healing comes. It's only when I get out of what I know, step into something new in faith, that a redemption comes. And that's all true, but see, here's the thing I don't want us to miss. All right, those are all good reasons. It's because we're pursuing something God's you know, causing us to go after. But here's what I don't want us to miss. You know why we get out of the boat? It's because Jesus is out on the water. Right? Jesus is not in the boat. Jesus is out on the water. And if you want to be closer to Jesus, you're going to have to take a step toward the storm. Because that's where Jesus is. In fact, I believe today, even this moment right here, is going to be a get out of the boat moment for many of us today. All right, maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you came in here and you're like, man, I thought I was just going to be sitting in church this morning. This moment may be your, I'm going to choose to get out of the boat and begin to go and walk to where Jesus is. And so, you know, the challenge this week is, am I going to be a storm chaser? Am I going to get out of the boat and go toward the storm? And so even right now, if you're willing to name your storm this week, as you get into your app, you're like, hey, I'm up for the challenge. I want you to stand right now with me. Just go ahead and stand. You're like, hey, I'm gonna name the storm and be a boat walker. I'm gonna be a storm walker, a storm chaser. And you can just stand up and say, hey, I don't know what that's gonna mean for me, but I wanna get out closer to where Jesus is. All right, and here's the thing, you may end up getting wet. You may end up falling in the water at some point. But guess what? You're going to be closer to Jesus than you were before. All right, let me pray for us. God, thank you for being a God who calls us into the new. God, you're calling us to be storm chasers this week. And God, you're calling us to be people who are going to say, God, I'm going to get out of the boat that I know. I'm going to face the storm, get ahead into it. But God, we also know that you're a God who says, I will be there with you. And so, God, I just pray that even right now that you just instill a dose of confidence into us. Help us to trust you and to build a trust even right now as we declare, you know, these words through the song we're about to sing individually, also as a tribe. God, I just pray that you would give us a confidence this morning as we're ready to head into the storm.